And I still believe that these problems can be solved.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
This is The Political Show.
Hey, and welcome to The Political Show right here on XFM. Radio has never been better. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix. And with me in studio we have
Gavin Inslin.
Pastor Gavin Inslin and
The Black Knight.
The Black Knight, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is
hot politics. Now, just to say one thing, Gix lied. She's not in studio. She's on Zoom.
Yes, I am on Zoom. And this week, while I'm on Zoom and Pastor Gavin and the Black Knight are in studio, we are going to be continuing with part two of the whole truth behind the Islam religion, or what they're not telling us about the Islam religion. And last week we looked at why Saudi Arabia wasn't really, there aren't any demonstrations in Saudi Arabia in terms of the Palestine and Israel war, or Israel and Gaza war. Is it Hamas? It's the Hamas. Yes. And we are going to be going into that. Pascal, should I give a more brief explanation of what we're going to be looking at this week?
Most of the political discussion in Western countries, and in this instance, let's include South Africa and the Western countries, is not taking into account the politics of Islam. And you cannot divorce the politics of Islam from what's going on. Just because you don't want something to be true doesn't mean it's not true. And so the first dynamic in the Middle East is the Islamic versus non-Islamic populations. And the aim of the Islamic populations, because this comes as an instruction from their prophet, is to wipe out the non-Islamic populations and to dominate and to bring all of society under Islam. And, I'm not going to go into too much detail on that, we're infidels. And the place, for example, the capital of Tanzania is Dar es Salaam. And Dar es Salaam is also the name in Arabic for parts of the world that are under Islamic rule. All right, so the whole thing is, for a Muslim, it's the world that's under Islamic rule and the world that isn't. Then another dynamic that you've got is that you've got the Shia Muslims. So there's a broad-based grouping within Islam called the Shia Muslims and the Sunni Muslims. Now, the Shia Muslims are about, 15-20% of the world Muslim population, and the Sunni Muslims are around 80%+ of the Muslim population across the world. And they hate each other. Iran is Shia Muslim, and they are, along with Qatar, funding Hamas. They are also funding Hezbollah. So Iran, I don't think Qatar is involved in this, but Iran is funding Hezbollah in Lebanon. And Iran is what has, in the 1970s, along with the Palestinians, has turned Lebanon from being the only Christian country within the Arab world, to a hellhole, and where Christians are now a minority. But many of the so-called Lebanese Muslims, are actually Syrians or Palestinians or people of other nationalities that have come and taken over and actually stripped many indigenous Lebanese people of their land rights. So if you look in South Africa, the whole argument that goes around land, the land question and that's a massive issue in Lebanon. And, maybe on another day we can go into that more. But so Saudi Arabia, for example, is Sunni Muslim, and them and Iran are arch enemies. And having given that background, we're obviously going to discuss more about why there are no protests for the Palestinians in places like Saudi Arabia, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, you know, all of these places, and why in other places they are. And yeah, I think that's it.
So that is what we're going to be speaking of. As always, this is the political show where Christ Politics is...
Hot politics.
Stay updated, stay entertained with ActiveFM on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, LinkedIn, Spotify, Anchor, and everywhere else. Engage with us, like, post, comment, share them out, retweet, and repost. Spread the word. ActiveFM. Radio has never been better.
So we are looking at the truth behind the Israel and Hamas war. And this week we're going to be focusing on Saudi Arabia as well. And if you basically look at how Saudi Arabia has been growing economically, socially as well, in terms of the different industries that they've been going into, they've made a lot of deals in terms of the sports industry. They've made a lot of deals in terms of the entertainment industry, if I could put it that way, apart from the oil deals that they've had. And Pastor Gav, what are your thoughts in terms of the direction in which Saudi Arabia is going towards? Obviously, last week we looked at the fact that in support of the reason that they're not openly supporting Hamas, if I could put it that way, or openly supporting Israel, they're standing against Israel, is because they need Israel in terms of their oil deals and stuff like that. We've also seen now that there's a lot of entertainment deals that they've made in terms of the different industries that they're going into, in terms of the sports as well. I think there was a boxing, there was a very big boxing match that had happened in Saudi recently, and also football as well. A lot of football games and stuff are happening in Saudi as well. So what are your thoughts in terms of that with their plans for the future?
Well, if you look at Saudi Arabia, you look at Dubai, you look at Abu Dhabi, maybe even Qatar, their money's been made on oil. And one of the things that's obvious is that someday that oil will probably run out. And if the oil runs out, then their source of income for their nation is gone. So they've got foresight and they've realized this. And for a long time, these countries have had a plan to, use the oil money that they've won to start, if I can use it to them, other businesses. And so the other businesses that they started, if you take in the world of golf, there's been a serious shake-up in the world of golf, and they started this new tour called Live Golf, which is against the USPGA and that, and it's taken a lot of the top players. And that thing is backed by Saudi Arabia. You spoke about the boxing, and Saudi Arabia is aiming to take control and to be the main host of all World Heavyweight Championship boxing fights. And then obviously you mentioned about the Saudi Arabian Soccer League. They're pumping huge amounts in. And the reality is that when you look at that, they've got guys like Cristiano Ronaldo and a host of other players playing in the Saudi League. And obviously they're aiming to make the Saudi League, that's their goal, is to make the Saudi League the new Premier League. They've already got that right with golf. They're trying to do that right with football. And obviously they're pushing really hard in the world of boxing. Another thing that Dubai has obviously done, the United Arab Emirates, is things like making Dubai the shopping capital of the world. So everyone goes to Dubai to shop, get economic activity that way. Also a lot of tourism, because there's a lot of sun on the beaches there in Dubai. They've also become quite a big stop for cricket, big cricket matches and all of these sorts of things. But the entertainment industry is a big deal in terms of them diversifying their economy. Now, for countries like Saudi Arabia, in order to get this right, they have to have the support of the Jews, because the Jews control the banking industry, a la the Rothschilds. And that's why they need Israel. It's a matter of pure economics. And, you know, there's a whole lot of other religious connotations that we can get into about Saudi Arabia looking at becoming a Quran only, as far as theology is concerned, place. I don't think we have time for that today, so we won't talk about that. But that's basically in a nutshell, sort of, you know, how they're looking to diversify. Also, you can look at that new thing, the Nome, which is a city that stretches across the country. You know, that's like a wall.
I was actually going to ask about that. Obviously, I recently saw that Saudi Arabia actually has a thing called Saudi Vision 2030. Hey, again, another 2030.
Yeah, we've got the National Development Plan in South Africa of 2030, and Xi Jinping came with the BRICS summit, was talking about we're behind schedule, we need to catch up with 2030. Everything's 2030.
So we also see that Saudi has a vision for 2030, which has three pillars. And the first pillar is a vibrant society, and that's creating the Nome mega city, a thriving economy and an ambitious nation. But I see here, in terms of under the vibrant society, it says the top line initiatives include increasing the number of Umrah visitors from 8 million to 30 million annually, establishing the largest Islamic museum in the world, and doubling the number of Saudi heritage sites registered under UNESCO. So what are your thoughts on that?
Now, well, obviously that's part of their plan. So that these, I mean, if you've got heritage sites, they'll be hoping to generate tourism. And tourism brings in a lot of money. So that's obviously their aim. That's what they're looking at. And then they can be getting money from all these tourism things. I mean, if you've got a big heavyweight boxing championship fight, a lot of people come in to watch, a lot of TV channels. Hey, you can charge the earth, you know what I'm saying? That brings in cash. Same with the LIV Golf. All of these sorts of things that they're doing. Same as in, you can now go skiing in the desert in Dubai, in an indoor ski mountain. You know, all of these sorts of things. So that's the aim, so that they can wean themselves off their dependence, you know, on oil. But they need Israel for that.
Yeah. Black Knight, what are your thoughts?
I think Pastor Gavin covered most of it. So in terms of the question, so it is true that in terms of where they are trying to major in, which is entertainment, they do need Israel, because we obviously know from our famous Kanye West, we know that Jews own like an extensive amount shares when it comes to the entertainment industry, in terms of news and pop culture and all of that. So when it comes to that, the Saudi prince, which is what's MBS, MBS, he does need the support of Israel. But I think also maybe that's not the only problem, because they had the attack in 2015, was it 2015 or 14 in Yemen, when they were attacking Yemen. Yeah, and obviously they still are attacking Yemen, and it's closer, you know, Yemen is like neighborhoods of the Saudis. So obviously that can go into their country, and they are trying to build their country, because already they are seeing drops, they are seeing decreases in their oil market, because obviously what do we call this new generation power, what do they call it again?
Nuclear power.
The green energy thing. It's finishing. It's obviously messing up their business on the oil side. So obviously.
Well, I just want to correct you. The problem is the oil price is sky. The problem is that they can't get enough of it out of the ground. And so the oil wells, you know, the amount of oil they've got is decreasing. And somebody's going to run out. They're not going to have oil to sell. Mm. It doesn't matter what the oil price is. If you don't have oil to sell,
Yes, so you have that happening in their country. So I think that's why they will have to be not even neutral, because they also can't come out fighting at the same time, because they need investors coming in their countries from different countries. So they don't want to be seen for or against. So I think that's why he's playing it neutral, so that investors from all across the world, all around the world, can come into the country and obviously invest in the country. So I think that's probably also one of the reasons why he's, unless with the Israel one, it's definitely he does need the Israel support for the entertainment industry. But I think also the biggest thing is to get investors also coming in, and you don't want to chase away any investor right now. It doesn't matter if it's Jew, Muslim, but he's also Muslim, so he wouldn't worry about that. And you wouldn't also want to stand with Israel, because all your Muslim investors won't come into your country and invest. So I think, yeah.
Well, to an extent, they are standing with Israel. Number one,
to an extent, yeah, for keeping quiet.
By keeping quiet, they're standing with him.
Yes, okay, for that, yeah.
If you're quiet on abortion, you're pro-abortion.
But they've been attacked.
No, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're quite an abortion, you're pro-abortion.
But remember, they also believe that Hamas is behind the whole attack with Yemen and all of that. So they can't really stand for them, because they don't
There's a connection.
They don't
and
really.
They're fighting Iran there.
Yeah.
Because there's a Shia Sunni battle going on in Yemen.
Yeah. So that's my take with that. And obviously, 2030, he has to go for that because of the way the world is going to go from there on. If they still having their old ways of living, with thinking oil is going to rule, not in the future.
Well, the thing is also, just to mention, obviously, the whole 2030 thing that Giggs mentioned and that you're mentioning now, that's all part of the UN plan, Agenda 2030.
Oh, yeah.
So now you're wanting all that banker's money. So now they're saying you must have a 2030 project. And it must fit in with the 17 sustainable goals.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. As long as there's a lot of money there, the people in Saudi won't care. But they're selling out Islamic ideals too. Just like the government in South Africa is selling out South African ideals.
Yeah, the women are driving already in Saudi. They're happy that they're driving. They want more rights now. I think they don't even have to wear their thingy around their heads anymore.
Are you sure?
I think so. I think that's he's let women to drive, and I think they don't have to wear that stuff.
Look, you still, if you're head. A Christian, if you become a Christian, if you're a Saudi citizen, become a Christian, it's death penalty for you. Eh?
Oh, is it still?
Yeah, they have an entire police force.
Mm. Yeah, no, there's things he's still kept. He actually had the police force in the streets. Making sure that people keep those laws, because people were breaking some laws, and is making people pay tax, because the people didn't pay tax at first. They were living off the oil money, but now people have to pay tax now. So he is changing a lot of stuff. In
Black Knight coming with some serious information. Yeah. Hey, Giggs.
Pardon?
Black Knight's coming in with some serious information. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also thinking and listening to that. So looking at the religious aspect of Saudi Arabia and stuff, one of the things you mentioned, Pastor, earlier was the whole thing of him saying that he's going to be a Quran-run-only, it's going to be a Quran-run-only country. What implications do you think that has in terms of now the Islam world and Saudi Arabia?
I can speak briefly on that, but I think we need to do a full show. So maybe next week, part three. Yes, but I mean, we carry on with the same vein, you know. What the issue is if you look in Islam, if you just read the Quran, you'll be confused about what you must do to live your life.
Yeah.
You need the hadith. So the hadith is the traditions, but what the hadith acts as well is as a commentary. So it fills in the other blanks into how you live life, how you build your society. And when you want to operate under Sharia law, you can't just do it with the Quran. You've got to look at the hadiths as well. you know, which is the traditions. Now, the big challenge between the Shia and the Sunni is that the Shia, you know, they believe they come from one of Muhammad's descendants, the Sunni, you know, from the early caliphs, and they've got different hadiths. So they've got different traditions. There's actually far bigger difference between the Sunni and the Shia than you generally would have between different Christian denominations. People obviously see the Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, as being Christians, which the rest of the church does not. So many Christians will complain about the Catholic Church, but they'll still consider them Christian. But the Jehovah's Witnesses are not. Now, if you look at the differences between the Christian Church and the Jehovah's Witnesses, or the Christian Church and the Mormons, because the Mormons also are not actually Christian, that's the extent of the theological differences between Sunni and Shia. It's much bigger than between Protestant and Catholic, or Catholic and Orthodox. All right, it's much bigger than that. And so, if they throw out the Hadith, and then the other part, the third part, is the what they call the Sirah, and the Sirah is the life of Muhammad. So you now start looking at Muhammad as an example. That's why if the guys really, you know, become religious and stuff, they'll often start growing beards and they'll wear white robes and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. Because they're trying to live like Muhammad. So looking at all of that stuff, if they drop the Hadiths, Islam's going to have a few problems. But I think we need to discuss that next week. So anyone who's listening must listen to next week's show, and then we can start talking about why, if the Saudi prince decides to go Quran only, he's playing into the hands of people like me. Mm. And Dr. J. Smith. Mm. And David Wood and the Apostate Prophet and all these guys that you can find on YouTube, and there's a lot of other ones, you know what I'm saying? Mm. The guys that are making videos that have studied Islam, and I've studied Islam, and let me tell you, the holes are almost as big as the holes in the theory of evolution. Just to mention to you, if you believe in the theory of evolution, it's much more realistic that Genesis chapter 1 is true than evolution. But anyway, just thought I'd give you that for free.
In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14 to 15, it says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again."
When you listen to a verse like that, this verse comes in stark contrast, for example, than Islam. And, you know, what the verse is talking about, in a nutshell, is the fact that everyone is born in sin. All of humanity is condemned because of Adam. And then Jesus came along and died. And he died for our sin. And then he rose up from the grave. So he died for all of us. And so what it's saying is, because Jesus died, therefore all who believe in Jesus die. If you get what I'm saying. And what do you die to? You die to your sin. What is the penalty for sin? It's death. So now you've died, the penalty's paid. Go for Jesus, guys.
Amen. This has been an amazing topic of conversation, and we'll be continuing it next week. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix. And in studio we've had
Gavin Enslin.
Pastor Gavin Enslin and
The Black Knight.
The Black Knight, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is
hot politics.
Hot politics.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.